السلام علیکم ورحمۃ اللہ وبرکاتہ، نحمده ونصلی علی رسوله الکریم، اما بعد، اعوذ باللہ من الشیطان الرجیم، بسم اللہ الرحمن الرحیم، وَإِذَا قِيلَ لَهُمُ اتَّقُوا مَا بَيْنَ أَيْدِيكُمْ وَمَا خَلْفَكُمْ لَعَلَّكُمْ تُرْحَمُونَ وَمَا تَأْتِيهِمْ مِنْ آيَةٍ مِنْ آيَاتِ رَبِّهِمْ إِلَّا كَانُوا عَنْهَا مُعْرِضِينَ وَإِذَا قِيلَ لَهُمْ أَنْفِقُوا مِمَّا رَزَقَكُمُ اللَّهُ قَالَ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَنُطْعِمُ مَنْ لَوْ يَشَاءُ اللَّهُ أَطْعَمَهُ ان انتم الا في ضلال مبين صدق الله العظيم. We are discussing some virtues of Surah Yasin Sharif, and I mentioned very clearly that it is a sad state of affairs that the ummah of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam generally considers this surah for recitation over the dead or those that are about to die. Indeed, there is great virtue. The person's sakarat can be made easy, and also maghfirat can be made through these verses if read over the dead. However, it was not revealed just for that purpose. This surah is for the living. It is for us. It is for those who are living in this world to change their ideology, their thinking, to submit themselves to the will and desire of Allah Ta'ala, to have firm yaqeen and faith in the coming of the akhirat and of the day of judgment, and so many other things which are in the surah. So without going into any details or any real tafsir, Yusuf, put some on if it's slow speak. Without going into any details or any tafsir of the ayat, but one of the ayat which I have discussed at some other time also, is that when these people are told, I'm just giving you the gist and the meaning, that fear that the kuffar of Makkah, the disbelievers were told, that fear that which is in front of you and that which is behind you, so that mercy may be shown to you, so that you may receive mercy of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. In front means that think of the consequences of your doing, your actions. If you are going to reject Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, reject His Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, then just as destruction came upon the nations of the past, how they were destroyed in spite of all their force and power and numbers and governments and everything else. So that kind of problem, that kind of calamities can come upon you. And that which is behind you means the qiyamah which is coming. So the consequences of doings, they were told to be very watchful about and to fear Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. But instead of accepting this message of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, what they did is they turned away. Any ayat of the Quran Sharif or any signs of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, His existence, His whatever signs came, instead of accepting it, they turned away. Whereas if you look at it, لَعَلَّكُمْ تُرْحَمُونَ, I've repeatedly mentioned that even in the azab of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, there's rahmat and mercy, provided the person is not wiped out from the surface of the earth or his death doesn't come. Then even in that azab and punishment of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, there's mercy, because Allah Ta'ala wants that they must return to Him and then enjoy His mercy, enjoy His bounties, enjoy His ni'mats. So instead of accepting, they always turned away. But after that, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala says, وَإِذَا قِيلَ لَهُمْ, and when they are told, that spend of that which Allah Ta'ala has given you as rizq and sustenance. Now this can have a very wide meaning, but as I said, I'm not going to tafsir here. But Allah Ta'ala is telling them that now spend of that which He has given you as rizq. A very, very clear message to each and every one in the world that our rizq and our sustenance is from Allah Ta'ala. Irrespective of how the person earned it, whether he earns it through his business, through his profession, through farming, or through any other way, through teaching, whatever it may be. But in reality, the rizq is from Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. Or the person gets it through inheritance. So I've mentioned many times that inheritance also, if you have to look at it, who is it that caused him to be born in a particular home or in a certain family or to certain parents? Who is it that caused him to be born? Did he have a choice? Did he sit down and say that I wish to be the son of the king of the of Saudi Arabia, or I wish to be the daughter of the Queen of Jordan? Does anyone have a choice? So the person who was born to the, in the king's family, he will inherit the fortune of the king. The person that was born to a poor woman, the child that was born to a poor woman living in a shack, then that's going to be his inheritance. When she passes away, what is he going to get? Those few dishes that may be there. So again, the person had no real choice in this. It was Allah Ta'ala who caused him to be born in a certain family. And then when those parents pass away or those from whom he inherits, so the person will get that inheritance. So again, it is Allah Ta'ala who has provided that rizq. And if somebody gives a gift, then again, why did that person give the gift to that particular person? Why didn't he go and give it to somebody else? So whichever way you look at it, that rizq and sustenance is from Allah Ta'ala. Therefore, He caused us to come into this world without a stitch of clothes. So that we don't say that I brought clothes also from my mother's stomach. In the mother's stomach also, the eyes, the ears, the nose, the heart, the lungs, the liver, everything, who fitted it? Did the mother have any hand in the fitting of all these parts of the body? Allah Ta'ala is inviting us through different ayat that ponder and reflect over His creation. How did we come into this world? Did anybody bring his suit and boot from his mother's stomach? So it is all Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. And again, when the person, his child is born, at that time absolutely useless. The child is absolutely useless. Nothing the child can do. Totally dependent on the mother or whoever is taking care. Cannot even change its own napkin. At that time, there was no intelligence. Now the child is a mathematician and an engineer and a philosopher and a scientist, nothing. To show that that is the beginning. After that, whatever the person achieved, then it is Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala's gift. It is His ni'mat. He gives the intelligence. He gives the, creates the means for this person to make progress in life. All that. So therefore Allah Ta'ala wants that we must acknowledge that He is the one who is providing that rizq and sustenance. And how Allah Ta'ala provides also is unreal. A person's intelligence does not work in that. Therefore many times I have given this example that if you have to give two people of equal intelligence, two young people of equal intelligence, just say that you can have their IQs checked up and they got an intelligence of a certain level. So of equal intelligence, you give them a prime spot in the busiest business area, prime spot. Supply them with equal amount of goods and merchandise of the same quality, of the same quantity. And thereafter, let them operate that business for about a month or two or 6 months or a year, and then go and ask both of them that what is the difference in your earnings. There will definitely be a difference. Both of them would never have earned exactly the same. In fact, sometimes it even happens that both have got exactly the same items, same intelligence, same kind of expertise, same kind of everything, but one person was, his business is booming, and the person says that no time, no rest, very, very busy. And the other person was killing flies in the shop and he was just wondering why the customers are all going across into that business. Why are they not coming this side? Look at India, look at Pakistan, look at all, even lots of other countries, even our places now. So many places, the shops are the same, selling the same items. One customer will buy from shop A, another one will buy from shop B, another one from C, and it will carry on like that. We just, whomever Allah Ta'ala has decided must get so much of risk and sustenance. So all he has to do is open that business and make the effort in the correct manner, and Allah Ta'ala will provide. Therefore, there's no need for jealousy. What is the need for jealousy? If we were the providers of risk and sustenance to everybody, then we can be jealous that this person opened up a similar shop next door to me. This is eating up the hearts of people today, is jealousy. That poetry again of Shah Muhammad Ahmad Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, very, very beautiful. If only we keep that in front of us. Of course, we should be keeping the ayat of the Quran Sharif and the hadiths of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, the ahadith of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam before us. But from there it is deduced. Hasad ki aag mein kyun jal rahe ho? Jahannam ki taraf tum kyun chal rahe ho? Hasad ki aag mein kyun jal rahe ho? Jahannam ki taraf tum kyun chal rahe ho? Khuda ki taqseem pe tum ho naraz? Kaffe afsos kyun mal rahe ho? Why are you going in the direction of Jahannam through this jealousy that is in the heart? Why this person has got this kind of business? Why this person has got this kind of a car? Why this person has got this kind of a home? Somebody is jealous of someone's profession, somebody is jealous of someone's earning, somebody's inheritance, somebody's car, somebody's wife, somebody's children. Why don't I have that kind of children? So Allah Ta'ala, na'uzu billah, was very unfair and unjust. So therefore that person who has got healthy, fit child, his child also must collapse, be paralyzed, must be a failure in the examination because my son is a failure in the examination. Now that is jealousy, which is eating up the hearts. It burns up the good deeds and good actions, like how fire burns up wood. So therefore he says, Jahannam ki taraf tum kyun chal rahe ho? Why are you going in the direction of Jahannam? Khuda ki taqseem pe tum ho naraz? Are you unhappy about the distribution that Allah Ta'ala has made? Who is it that has made the distribution? Was Allah Ta'ala going to have some parliamentary sitting or some cabinet meeting and then make a decision that how much we are going to allocate to the different provinces for education and for medication and for health and for this and for that? It is a taqseem, it is a distribution of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. Khuda ki taqseem pe tum ho naraz, kaffe afsos kyun mal rahe ho? Why are you rubbing your palms in regret? Hi, hi, why I didn't get this, why I didn't get that. Allah Ta'ala has given every person whatever he has. It is Allah Ta'ala's blessing, Allah Ta'ala's ni'mat. And sometimes what he has given to some people, it is a test. If a person has got billions, but his billions are going in casinos, in discos, in rave clubs, in brothels, and in interest taking and giving, and in gambling dens and everywhere. Now the person is very, very jealous. Why this person has been given so much of money? So is that something good to be jealous about? Where is his money going to take him finally? So if we have to look at the lives of those people who have been blessed sometimes with plentiful, where is that wealth taking them to? Who else can afford those shows and who else can afford all those kind of entertainment and all those kind of extravaganza, whatever they call it, and this big, big spending that they do? Who can afford that? People with money, they can afford it. And where does it take them? It's taking them in the road to Jahannam, road to hell. Yes, if the person has got plentiful and he is spending in good causes, spending on his family, wife, children, spending on madrasas, masjids, he's spending on the poor, the needy, the destitute, and he hasn't got arrogance in him, he hasn't got pride in him, he considers that wealth also as a gift of Allah Ta'ala. He has earned it correctly also. It is not backdoor goods earning. It is not hijacked container earning. It is not cheating and deceiving of clients and customers. And he has earned it. Then we must make dua, Ya Allah, just as you have given him good wealth and he is spending it in the correct way, then bless me also with that kind of wealth. Now that is rashk and ghibta, which is permissible. It is just like the Quran Sharif, that if a person has got that kind of desire in his heart, لا حسد الا على اثنين. There's no such thing as hasad. But if you want to have ghibta, that desire, then you have it over two kinds of people. رَجُلٌ آتَاهُ اللَّهُ الْقُرْآنَ فَهُوَ يَقُومُ بِهِ آنَاءَ اللَّيْلِ وَآنَاءَ النَّهَارِ وَرَجُلٌ آتَاهُ اللَّهُ مَالٌ فَهُوَ يُنْفِقُ مِنْهُ آنَاءَ اللَّيْلِ وَآنَاءَ النَّهَارِ. If the person has given mal, آتَاهُ اللَّهُ مَالًا. So if the person is given Qur'an Sharif or is given wealth, the person who has been given Qur'an Sharif, that means he's hafiz of the Qur'an Sharif, or is engaged in teaching the Qur'an Sharif, in learning the Qur'an Sharif, propagating the message of the Qur'an Sharif, in whichever way he is occupied, or the person who has been blessed with wealth by Allah Ta'ala, and is spending out of that wealth in good causes, good places. So then if a person has got that kind of desire in his heart, that, Ya Allah, just as you have blessed this person with Qur'an Sharif and is engaged in its propagation and teaching and learning, and this person you have given him wealth and he is earning it correctly and is spending it correctly, so bless me also with good wealth and give me the tawfiq to spend it in correct and good causes. Nothing wrong with that. But that burning in the heart, every time the person sees somebody's ni'mat and fortune, then the person's heart is on fire. In fact, that is sufficient punishment, that hasad and jealousy which is in the heart. It's not only on wealth, as I said. On so many different things, the people become jealous. So that jealousy and that fire which is burning that heart, it is sufficient azab. The person doesn't need any other azab. There is no need for any other azab for that person who is jealous, because that fire which is burning in his heart of jealousy, that is sufficient. His jahannam is already in this world. We're talking about fire of hell, but that person has already got the fire of hell lit up in his own heart. And it will burn him up. And it's burning his good deeds also. So that will take him to another fire in the akhirat. So therefore this rizq and sustenance thing we have to understand is from Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. We have been given our sight, our hearing, our speech, our faculties, our understanding. We make use of it, go to the bazaars, marketplaces, go to the schools and teach. Or the person goes to some other profession, if he's a doctor, an engineer or anything else. Make use of that capability Allah Ta'ala has given. And for those people who have not been blessed with that, those who are handicapped for whatever reason, those people who cannot make use of those faculties, so then for them, this ayat of the Qur'an Sharif, where Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala is ordering, that which you have been given, that which you have been given as sustenance, as risk, so then from there now, give to those people who do not have that. That is the gist and the meaning. That some people, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala gives it to them directly, and some people, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, He gives it via other sources. So now it is left to Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala that how He wants to give that rizq and how He wants to give that sustenance. So for some people, as I said, they will get it directly. And some people, Allah Ta'ala gives them plentiful or gives them more than what their requirement is. So that now they may spend on those who are handicapped, those who are paralyzed, those who are unable to find employment, those who are in hardship and difficulties of whatever nature. And they are genuine also. They're just not professional beggars. So then now these people, they are told to assist such kind of people. Now when they are told to do that, then what this kuffar used to say? They say, why should we feed when they are told to feed those people who cannot? So they used to say that, أَنُطْعِمُ مَنْ لَوْ يَشَاءُ اللَّهُ أَطْعَمَهُ. Inshallah, if Allah tabarak wa ta'ala wills, gives life, health and another opportunity, we will continue tomorrow. But there's a great lesson in there. That example which I gave, if we keep that in front of us, nobody will be jealous of the next door person, what he's opening up there and what he's selling there. It's like a world war that carries on. Believe me, because we deal with cases all the time. Sometimes it's like a fight, which an argument where the danger is that some party could pull out a gun and pull the trigger and the other neighbor's store, or the neighbor could be wiped out. Or if it doesn't reach that stage, then court cases, battles, pulling of customers from this side to that side and swearing and cursing. What is the need for all that? Who is the one that is providing? When we came into this world, what did we bring and come? May Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala give us that yaqeen in His being Razzaq. Once we have that, see what kind of contentment we have in our hearts. Hawa'u hirsu ala dil badal de. Mera ghaflat mein dooba dil badal de. Badal de dil ki dunya dil badal de. Khuda ya fazl farma dil badal de. That's what it is. Wa akhir da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.